Welcome into Tar Heel Talk here on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM WCHL. Blake Hodge alongside Ross Martin, as always. And we have got a couple of special guests here. It's homecoming weekend, getting ready for Georgia Tech, and a couple of former Tar Heels coming into the studio to join us here. Jeff Schottmer, Shaquille Rashad, as we've got off to a flying start here from last year's UNC football team that, of course, you guys were two of the fan favorites, certainly, as guys that had been through so much at UNC. But, Ross, I want to turn to you. We had the bye week, of course, last week, and as we're looking at Georgia Tech this week, there's been a lot going on between now and then and now, as the college football playoff rankings are out. UNC entering the rankings at 21 this year, certainly a different aspect than we saw last year, where it took forever, it felt like, for Carolina to start getting some of that national respect, and we'll talk a little more about that here in a few minutes. But Virginia Tech with the win over Pittsburgh, Carolina still needing Virginia Tech to lose to control their own destiny in the Coastal. As you hit that reset button looking at Georgia Tech, what's going through your mind?
I mean, clearly UNC just needs to win out. They can't really worry about what other teams are doing, and they're just keeping an eye on Virginia Tech and hoping they lose, but it's kind of out of their control. And Virginia Tech's playing pretty well now, having beat Miami and then Pitt. And UNC has, you know, four games left, three games at home, two rivalry games, again, of course, against Georgia Tech coming up here. It's kind of Georgia Tech week. You always write articles about the triple option. You're talking to linebackers, defensive tackles, the coaches about how to defend it. It's kind of the same old thing because they run such a unique offense. And it's actually like learning a completely new defense. And we're going to dive into this a lot more with Jeff and Shaq here. But, you know, we want to welcome these guys back. I covered Shaq and Shot last year, my first full time year on the beat. And it was kind of awesome because they're great interviews, great quotes. But how's it going, guys?
It's going great. I love my time in Chapel Hill, and I think coming back here for homecoming weekend is really going to be a good time. Get to watch the boys.
Is this y'all's first time back since when?
Since Pro Day.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So what's it kind of been like? I'm going to dive into it here. Yeah. And we got these guys here in the studio. What's it kind of been like since kind of, I guess, Pro Day and kind of since the bowl game against Baylor? What's your life been like, if you want to each kind of dive in there and give us a little perspective?
Yeah, Shaquille, if you want to start off with that, just so we can
Sure. Yeah, so I'll start us off. So after Pro Day, we both just kind of hung out here, and we worked out for a little while around here. Stayed ready, and then the draft came, and we weren't drafted, but we both signed as free agents for the team almost immediately. And then from there, it was going out and just starting to work out with the teams and trying to get to learn the new systems we were in.
Right after the bowl game, Shaq and I, we both signed with the same agent. So beginning, I think, January 2nd or 3rd, we were down in McKinney, Texas, you know, training for the draft and getting ready for that. So myself, Shaq, and Romar were all there living together. So I've been with this guy for quite a while now.
Good time.
So, yeah, like you said, we did Pro Day up in Chapel Hill, and then there's, you know, probably a month in between Pro Day and the draft. We both went undrafted, but, you know, right when the draft ends, you know, teams – or during the draft, actually, teams are calling you saying if you don't get drafted that we want to offer you, undrafted free agent contract. So we both, you know, signed those, and, you know, I went to New Orleans, and Shaq is obviously in Houston, and, you know, we did OTAs, mini camp, and then, you know, training camp, obviously. So
and you were there with Landon as well. So
right.
What was that like to kind of make that transition, which is so different, I'm sure, of entering a whole new world once again, but having a guy that you're so familiar with?
Yeah, it was great having Landon there. And actually, we had, at one point, we had five Tar Heels on the team. We had Connor Barth, myself, Landon, Jack Tabb, and Nakeem Nick. So, you know, we led the team with,
oh my God.
We had the most of any college on that team. So we would, you know, talk trash to the Bama guys, the Ohio State guys, saying that we're the football school.
And, right. Yeah, to get the App State shout out there with Travaris Cadet down there as an App guy. I've always got to make that.
So what was it like just being part of an NFL franchise? I mean, it's got to be completely different and kind of a dream come true to, you know, put on the jersey and you went through preseason games and whatnot. And I mean, what was it kind of like just as a 22, 23-year-old human being?
It's strange, and I think that the weirdest part about it, honestly, was walking in and, you know, as you're preparing during games, you're hearing about preparing for people that you grew up watching. So it's like people you grew up watching, man, I wonder what it'd be like to play against him, and then all of a sudden, like, you're studying film on him. And so it's a different life, but it's something that maybe for Jeff it's a different case, but I it was more similar to college than I thought it would be, in that it's like it's almost just like you just took school out of it. And obviously you spend more time with football now, but it's like you take school out of the equation and it's still a game of football, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Shaq. I mean, the locker room is the exact same as it is in college room, a college locker room. You know, most of the guys are married and have kids and stuff like that, so it's different outside of football. You're not really hanging out as much as you were in college with your buddies, but inside the locker room, it's the same. You know, people pulling pranks on each other and all that type of stuff. So, you know, it's a great atmosphere.
Looking at UNC, you've had a chance to kind of watch the team now. You're part of the program for four or five years, and what's it been like kind of seeing North Carolina play as more of a fan?
I'll start, and you know, I get so into the games, I'm almost more nervous watching the games than I was playing in any game I ever played. Yeah. And so, you know, it's so hard because you can't do anything to control the game. You're just sitting at home on a couch watching it. But, you know, it's really exciting because I'm still close with a bunch of the guys that are still here. I mean, we have group chats and we're talking daily, probably more than me and Shaq are the ones that are talking to them more than they talk to us. They're like, leave us alone.
And like, you're the middle linebacker. You probably know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You played in Chizik's office last year and your friends are a lot of linebackers. That's
yeah.
Kind of, are you more like looking at what they're doing wrong or right than cheering on?
I mean, no, I'm obviously cheering and want them to do really well. And me and Shaq, actually, we text each other during the games. We're like, that was this call, that was that call. And we just try to, you know, figure out what's going on. But it's really fun to watch and see them doing well, and I'm really proud of them.
Yeah. Shaq, I think you tweeted one time, it may have been the Florida State game, but it was something along the lines of, is everybody always this nervous watching this? This is way worse than just being able to get involved with it. So how has that transition been on your mental state?
It's so nerve-wracking, man. I'm just watching these games, and I think I know exactly what you're talking about. It's something along those lines, and it's just, I think what Jeff said it exactly. Like, when you're playing a game, you don't have time to be nervous. You know,
right.
You're trying to get it figured out. But when you're just watching it, you're like, man, like, I can't do anything to help. I'm just, I'm helpless over here. So you're watching, and you're hoping it goes well for the guys. And they've put together an awesome season so far. I can't wait to keep watching playing.
What's your favorite moment so far? This season's been crazy because there's been three wins that came down to like the last minute.
Yeah.
Just something that stands out to y'all. Obviously,
the Weiler celebration,
Tomahawk chop. Because being from Florida, I had a lot of friends at Florida State, and I remember tweeting a disclaimer like, "Look, I'm sorry to you guys right now, but I have to celebrate this win."
Yeah, I got to give Nick a shout out. He's going to be a Chapel Hill legend for the rest of his life for that. I mean, the Pitt game obviously was incredible. What else we
the
have?
The drive.
The strip sack.
Yeah.
Sack and the
Malik. Scoop.
Yeah. Scoop.
Yeah. Scoop. Yeah.
Great nicknames.
And Bug Howard's catch.
Yeah.
Three, like, kind of, I think they're like quintessential kind of UNC plays. You rarely see that kind of play in a season, let alone three in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, UNC is now 2-0 against Florida teams on the road.
Yeah, I like that.
Flip the script there a little bit. Absolutely.
Sure.
So there's a lot of progression that's been made with the program and with some certain players as well. Mitch, Nas Jones as being two that kind of immediately come to mind from each side of the ball. Watching Mitch, or I guess practicing against Mitch a lot of the times, y'all probably saw a lot of this, and we always heard it from the outside, all the hype around Mitch. Obviously, Quise was record-setting last year. But what's it been like to see a guy that you played against and practiced so much take over and do it so seamlessly?
Yeah, I mean, Mitch has been one of my good friends since he came in, and you just every day you've heard this. He just goes about his business. He works hard. He's a great teammate, great leader, and I think he's learned a lot from everyone that he's played with. You know, starting with Bren Renner, he taught Mitch a lot, and then he passed the torch on to Quise, and then Quise to Mitch. You know, so he's got some great guys ahead of him that he learned from. And, he's done a great job, and I think he is by far the best quarterback in the country,
We've seen him shoot up a lot of the draft boards recently, so I think that's Mel Kiper had him number one quarterback this last go-around.
Yeah, we asked him on Monday kind of about that, and his teammates give him a little hard time.
I bet.
Kiper's number one guy. Mm-hmm. What's kind of Mitch like? Marquise and Mitch are so different in front of the media.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're
kind
of different in person. But Mitch seems like one of the guys too. What's Mitch kind of like in person, locker room guy, behind the scenes, I guess?
I think he hit it on the head. He's like one of the guys. I don't think that the last thing that you'd ever have to say about Mitch is that like the hype is getting to his head. That's definitely not the case. He's one of the guys. He's always going to be a team player, always has been, and I'm sure that's still the case. And it's just I'm sure he's a great leader with this team. You know, I haven't been around the locker room and everything as much or at all, really. But I just know without even looking at that he's been a great leader for the team.
Well, another guy there that we mentioned, Nas Jones, another piece of that defense. Of course, y'all went through a lot of transition on the defensive side. We want to hear a lot more about all that as we continue here on Tar Heel Talk. We got Jeff Schottmer, Shaquille Rashad with us, of course, Ross Martin, as always. You can get his stuff over at Carolina Blue. I'm Blake Hodge here with Tar Heel Talk on WCHL. Welcome back into Tar Heel Talk here on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM WCHL. And we have got a couple of guests with unique perspectives on the Tar Heel program with us here this week. So we're going to talk a little bit about that evolution of the program. Ross, we were talking about this kind of in planning for the show of so much changing over the last few years. And we've talked about it so far during this season on this program about having a chance a couple of times for program changing wins, if you will, going, you know, Georgia in the kickoff game there, going to Florida State, getting the win. But a few years ago, that certainly wasn't in the thought process of any of the Carolina fans. I can pretty safely say maybe the players' perspective would have been a little bit different. But Shaq, Jeff, y'all were here during a lot of transition. Jeff, let's start with you because you go back even a little bit further than Shaq here. So seeing the progression of the program, you were recruited by Butch and then here with Everett Withers. Of course, played a lot for Larry Fedora. What has that shift been like? First off, during it, trying to, as an 18-year-old, trying to get your head wrapped around that, what's it been like over the last 5 years in your head?
I mean, it's been hectic, to say the least. You know, I came in the summer when Butch was still the head coach, and
right.
Then obviously he gets fired, you know, a week before training camp, and that was, you know, I didn't know too much because I never played a season under him, but when I got back to campus, you could just tell, you know, all the guys' reactions. It was a pretty hectic time. And then, you know, that season, you know, we were talented, but we just, you know, we didn't win many games. Can't exactly pinpoint why, but, you know, there's a bunch of talent on the team, but, you know, we just didn't get things done the right way on the field, I guess. And, you know, Fedora came in, I remember, like it was yesterday, his first meeting. It was, you know, January of, 2012. He comes in and he gives us all these shirts with our names, like our first names on the chest of it or whatever.
Right, and, like a nameplate.
Yeah,
like, right. Hi, I'm Jeff.
And it looks like a prison shirt almost. But it's supposed to represent like blue collar. We're gonna be a blue collar team and blue collar workers. So he asked the team, he's like, What do y'all think this represents? And everyone's like, prisoners. And he's like, no, we're going to be a blue-collar team. You know, we're going to be hardworking in the classroom, on the field,
right.
You know, all that type of stuff. And, you know, that's really how it's been since he's been here.
How many times did you hear smart, fast, physical in your 4 years?
Too many. he engraved the point in my head, you know, pretty well.
Still remember that meeting Jeff's talking about, and that was my first meeting of college football, and I get handed a prison shirt, and I was like, maybe this isn't for me. But just trying to think back to like how Coach Fedora has kind of changed, I guess, like you were saying. I don't think he's changed much. I think that we've gotten to know him better and better. So I think that when we came in, like he tried to like establish a point, like, hey, look, like if you ever need to talk about anything, like you can, like I'm here to talk to you guys. And I don't know if anybody really believed him at first because you're just getting to know him. But then by the time, you know, 4 years pass, I'm a senior, and I can see that it was an honest, like, true thing he was saying. And so I think that the way that we got to know him really helped the relationship that, like, the whole team had with him. I think everyone was kind of that way.
He's obviously come, you know, it was, what, y'all were 8-4 the first year. And
mm-hmm.
7-6, 6-7.
6-7, right.
I don't count the bowl games.
And the 11-3. So he's had to, like, weather a little bit. You know, he was almost on the hot seat after that 6-7 mm-hmm. year in the big, the fourth year, 11-3. So, I mean, obviously it helps a lot when you win. And have you seen people buy into what he's doing? How was that last year, I guess, buying into what he's selling and then seeing what all y'all's hard work and his kind of philosophy kind of pay off?
Yeah, I'll start, you know, going back to the 6-7 team. You know, I mean, that was a rough year just for everyone, the coaches, the players, the fans. I mean, that's one year that probably we'd like to forget as Carolina, you know, Carolina fans or former players. But, you know, I think that's what made the next year so sweet is we saw how to lose and how to be awful, and we figured out a way to do the complete opposite. Really. in a sense, it was good for us because, you know, senior class, myself, Shaq, Quinshad, Quise, Landon, we really learned that, you know, leadership is the biggest key in success in college football, I think. And if you don't have it, there's no way you can be successful. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if things go wrong during a game and you don't have anyone to step up and really, you know, weather the storm and, you know, rally the team together, then you can't be successful.
And a lot was made right after that game of that famous team meeting now where everybody, the airing of grievances almost, it sounds like, of just getting it all out in the open. But then also on the defensive side, had Gene Chizik come in as the defensive coordinator. What was that transition like specifically for y'all on the defensive side and as leaders on the defense, learning a new system under a guy that's, you know, a big name guy, Shaq, that is coming in with this pedigree of expecting to get things done, and y'all were honestly coming off of a poor defensive season, to say the least.
Like Jeff was saying, like we saw the year before exactly what wouldn't work. And so, like, Coach Chizik came in, and I think that people were just so tired of losing. And so, like, when you're so tired of losing and the guy comes in that you know knows how to win,
right,
you buy in immediately. Mm-hmm. You're just like, yeah, like, whatever you say, I'll do it. Like, I'll do it. Just please help us win games.
Right.
And so that's what happened. Everybody did whatever they had to do. They found a way to fit in a new role they were going to play because a lot of guys moved positions, changed. And everyone did whatever they could to fit into the role and help the team out. Whether it was, you know, going from being a starter to, you know, playing off the bench or something or doing whatever they had to do, people were really ready to just roll and get going. And I mean, it just really helped us out. We got some wins under our belt finally.
And that progression has continued on the defensive side. Of course, y'all are gone now, but still a lot of leadership there. Des Lawrence, MJ Stewart, and Nas Jones up front, and some really talented young guys at the linebacker spot with Andre Smith. So specifically with guys that have been around for a little while, Nas, Des, MJ, did y'all have a conversation with them passing the torch down, or was that all pretty well known at this point that they needed to step up and be a little more vocal?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit. I remember talking to, you know, Dre especially. You know, I told him, me and Shaq are gone. You're the leader of the room now. Right. Even though you're a sophomore, you got to embrace the role. You're the one with the most experience. I mean, Case and yeah, but Dre, you're the middle linebacker. You got to take control, and I think he's done a great job with that. And then Dez and MJ. You know, Dez has been playing since he was a freshman, and he's been out there a lot. And I mean, I didn't have to tell him anything. He already knew that was his role. And no, it's good to see Nas, you know, really step up in that leadership role, because he was a guy, when he came in as a freshman, if you would have told me where he is now, I would have said, no way that he's doing what he's doing. So he's really matured, and it's really good to see.
We saw flashes last year of him doing just unbelievably athletic things.
Yeah.
And he's really put it together this year.
And really, in the defensive line, you're getting double teamed. You don't really see all the production that's really happening.
Yeah.
When you look at this defense, obviously y'all have seen a lot of games this year. What have you seen out of this group? What they can do, strong points, weak points of this defense this season?
I think one of the strengths has been how hard they play. Like, even when games were like even in the, I think the Pitt game, it really showed, like, I mean, you just see, like, the game's getting towards the end, and it's just not looking great. And so I may have even heard that, like, some people were leaving the game or stands or something. Mm-hmm. So, like, and then all of a sudden, defense just starts rolling off three and outs. And so when you're getting three and outs that late in the game like that, like, it's because of how hard the guys are playing. And so, like, any defense, you love to see that. You love to hear it. Like, when you're on the defense, you love to hear it about you. And when you're watching it, you love to see it. Just like how, like, a defense that plays hard always has a chance.
They're definitely more aggressive blitzing-wise. You know, I remember watching the opening game versus Georgia. They had, like, two or three sacks in the first half, like, one with Cole, one with Dez. I don't think a cornerback last year had a sack coming off the edge. You know, we didn't do that because it just wasn't in our call sheet, really. So I think just year two of the defense that they've really grasped it, and they're allowed to be more aggressive. So, I mean, obviously they're still doing a lot of similar things that, you know, we did last year, but just the fact that they're more aggressive, they're getting more sacks from the D-line, which is great to see, you know, because those guys really do work their tail off. And, you know, Coach Scott, you know, he's so fun to be around, and I think he's one of the, you know, best young coaches in the country.
Defensive line coach for UNC.
Yeah.
What's kind of Chizik like behind the scenes? I mean, he seems like, I mean, I would run through a wall.
For sure.
Very, you know, he seems like a great leader, a great guy, very trustworthy. What's kind of he like, maybe, what we don't see?
I think that as a player, what I appreciated most about him was his honesty with you. So, like, if you came in and you had a great play, he'd be the first one to tell you. But also, like, if you're sitting in a meeting and you're watching film and you had a horrible play, like, he'd let you know that too. And so you can really appreciate that because you always know what you're going to get from him. You never, it's not like he's changing up. You always know what you're going to get. You're going to get an honest coach. And I also really liked his shirts. Like, I don't know if he, I don't know what shirts he wears at practice. I know Jeff knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
He wore some tablecloth shirts on.
Like floral designs, like incredible shirts. I've been looking for them over at Steinmart. I haven't found it. I found some shirts I like over there. None of those yet, though.
Well, one thing that happened defensively that seemed to happen last year a lot more that's not happening this year is turnovers, interceptions specifically. Odd to say with guys that have so much clout, really. I mean, Dez and MJ being two of the best corners in the conference. That may be part of it, of just not throwing at them as much. But from what y'all have seen, are there a couple of missed chances, or is it offenses maybe avoiding? Why haven't they been able to capitalize on that this year?
I think, honestly, they're just missing Shaq and I's hands. I remember earlier this year, Andre had a couple of missed interceptions, I guess, and it was on social media. Shaq said, you know, your butterfinger hands, hands like being shot.
We've got a lot more to talk about. Of course, the game against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech always presenting a little bit of a different attack on the offensive side, and we'll get the inside scoop here on the defensive preparations for that whenever we get back here on Tar Heel Talk on WCHL. Welcome back into Tar Heel Talk here on WCHL. Blake Hodge, Ross Martin, and this week, Jeff Schottmer and Chico Rashad. It's homecoming weekend for the Tar Heels, so a couple of former Tar Heels joining us here in studio. And Ross, we have while we have two of the former linebackers here, let's open it up. Let's go in a different direction. We'll talk Georgia Tech because, you know, Georgia Tech is an odd team in its own right. So let's go in a different direction here. What you got for
us? Yeah, I mean, I always like to bring the capital J to journalism, but sometimes it's time to have fun. And, so we got two of our favorite Tar Heels here, foreign players from last year's team, and kind of want to open it up here. You got any good stories, maybe non-football related, about a couple of players on this current team, or just things that kind of stand out from your time as a UNC football player that we don't know about that you can say on air? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but there's got to be some things that stick out from your career in Chapel Hill, whether in football or not.
Jeff, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll start. Okay.
Story time with Jeff and Shaq.
Papa Jeff.
I mean, to keep it PG rated, I'll just start with, you know, during the summer, we really work our tail off, I should say. But, you know, we do like to have a good time, and you could always catch us either at Chapel Ridge or now Lux pool parties, volleyball. And I'd like to say that Shaq was not very good at volleyball.
Get out of here. we ran the volleyball courts, I think, for a while. Like we took it pretty serious, I think. I think that was one of our more, so we played it every like Friday and Saturday. We played beach volleyball for hours. And then one of our summer challenges that we had over summer was always beach volleyball, and that was always the most intense because when we played on weekends, we were always on the same team playing against, like, whether it was volleyball team or anyone. We played whoever. Actually, Jeff played with a lacrosse guy sometimes. He didn't always play with us. But then we come all together as a team. We break up. We're playing against each other, and those got intense, and it was just – It's the first full contact game of volleyball you've ever seen. Like at the net, you saw some wild collisions, just people going up and getting after each other.
No official referees on the court there with you.
There were referees. They were terrified to make calls, though. I mean, they were getting screamed at.
Were there any inter-sport competitions with the basketball team? Any Joe ever issue a challenge to the basketball team?
I mean, we always talk. The big talk in the locker room was
absurd conversation.
If we get our five best basketball players on the football team, would we beat or even stand a chance? And you know, you get guys on the team like, yeah, we would beat them.
Of course,
like,
right? Yeah.
There's literally no way.
Well, you saw that video that Go Heels made. They had players pick their starting five off the football team.
Yeah.
You know, like Switzer was talking.
He was the only one that picked himself.
Most of them had like Bug and Mac and Nas. And,
yeah.
Well, I respect the strategy there at least. Maybe if you dip into the alumni pool there and you can pull back
Peppers,
that'd always be fun. Those are my favorite, man. Peppers going up for Allie. First off, seeing Julius Peppers in a basketball uniform always made me realize how big y'all were. Like, all right, so like football players in real life are just monster human beings.
This is actually a perfect segue, which is a radio term. Who are y'all's favorite kind of all-time Tar Heels? You know, I don't know if y'all grew up UNC fans like a lot of people in this area did, but when you kind of look about your time here or back in history, who are some of the guys that maybe if you had three favorite all-time Tar Heels, who would they be? We'll start with Shaq here.
Can we go one at a time? Because I've got one in my head. I may need time. So I'll go one. We'll popcorn it.
You have to say it and explain why.
Number one, no doubt, Chapel Hill legend is Devin Ramsey. First, the guy spent so much time here, they named the mascot after him. he played like 26 years.
He was
in
here
this
a long
place.
Time.
I mean, yeah, I make jokes with him all the time about like how, I mean, it's just so funny how much time he spent here. He was... And he never got old, really. It was just the strangest thing. I love Dev. Hope he hears this. But, man, that guy, he's a Chapel Hill legend. He's definitely my favorite Tar Heel of all time.
Jeff, you got some other guy, a couple guys to stand out?
I mean, I think a couple guys are my favorites, but they aren't, like, very well known to the public, I guess. Like, Trace Jones, for example, he was here. He was a fifth year my freshman year, you know, and he was a punter, kicker, holder, and he actually did some punt returning that I found out earlier in his career. I heard he was the starting punt returner versus Notre Dame. I don't know if that rings a bell. And I'm just imagining this guy at punt return. You know, he's just a crazy guy, really fun to be around. But more well-known, I guess I got to go with Gio. I actually watched – So I was in Ole Miss this past weekend, and
you were with Keaton Brewer there, weren't you?
I was. Yeah.
He's a former guest on here.
He was.
Wow. Yeah.
So I mean, we just started talking about the return versus State, and I was with a buddy that didn't go to UNC, so we kept showing him the video and stuff. So I guess I
did.
Give
he go to State?
That would be great. No, he didn't.
You were both for that team, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, can tell that game, man.
Sticky?
Yeah.
No, I was still suspended from the game before.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. I had a good seat on the bench for that one.
Yeah.
Did either of y'all grow up Carolina? I mean, y'all aren't from the area, really, so.
Nah, to be honest, I mean, I grew up a Texas football fan.
Oh, okay. Oh, tell the truth, Jeff.
But basketball, I was a Duke basketball fan growing up, to be honest, in Wake Forest. Both my parents went to Duke and Wake, so.
Oh, okay. Well, at least there's some reasoning.
Yeah. Schooling was a school in the same state as your parents.
Yeah. And it rivals.
Yeah.
Blake, you got a favorite Tar Heel?
Vince Carter.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We're doing basketball here?
Sorry. Well, we'll unlock it. We'll give you another shot here. He said, growing up, Vince Carter, because I mean, that was whenever I was first, really getting, and whenever I was in middle school, I could wear a different Vince Carter jersey to school every day of the week and not have any repeats there. It was an interesting, that was my first introduction to also a generational divide, because my dad could not have been a bigger Antoine Jameson fan, and I could not have been a bigger Vince Carter fan, and it was purely for everything that you would expect it to be, because I guess because of Vince's ability to jump over anyone that exists on the planet, and then Antoine was just the most fundamental fantastic basketball player that existed at that time.
Yeah, I would say I like Shaquille or Shad.
There it is.
No, I like Ty Lawson.
Ty.
And Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, that was kind of my generation here. Those guys were incredible. Tyler Hansbrough. That guy was 25 points. You gonna have a couple favorite basketball players?
Favorite basketball player? That's tough. Obviously, you want to say Jordan. I think actually mine's going to be my favorite basketball player, J.P. Tocatel. He used to just walk around and just jump. Yeah, he jumps so high. I'm looking for what teams is he with? Was it the Knicks now?
Yeah.
Looking for a jersey. I look it up every few days.
I think he's on somebody's D League team.
Okay. Yeah.
I need a jersey. I need a Tocatel.
Would you have that Nike jersey you wore on the court there, that official jersey?
The Navy, yeah.
What brand was that?
Probably Starter, man. The funny thing about that is that it came from a thrift shop. And what's so funny about the jersey that I love the jokes that I get and nobody else does. Those are the funniest to me. The funniest thing about that jersey is that apparently in college basketball, you're not allowed to have a number on your jersey. No digits above 5 because they do the fouls. Yeah. Right. Number on that jersey is 56. It's completely ridiculous jersey, though.
You got some ESPN pub from that.
Yeah. I tell people it's the... it's a Lawrence Taylor basketball jersey. Yeah, and they say they didn't know he played.
It was like Jeff, and who else was on the court with y'all?
Mac.
Queese. Y'all are just wearing like jeans and like a t-shirt. Like, and then like You got Shaq and like a kid's extra large Navy basketball jersey with like weird.
No, he's really got the whole basketball outfit on. Good. He looks like he's
ready to play. Yeah, I didn't know if they need someone else to play.
Yeah, right.
Jeff, you got a favorite basketball player?
I was going to say Ty Lawson. Yeah, I remember him. He was just so quick on the court, so fun to watch. So, and, you know, he's just a great player.
Now, what, any characters on this current football team that we need to know about? I mean, we've got Mac, you got Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know about a few guys. You know the guys that like to be in front of the camera. Who's goofy off the camera that we can't get anything out of on the other side?
I would say
Tommy Hatton, right?
Tommy Hatton, I mean, yeah, Tommy Hatton.
That's the best character you've ever met in your life.
He's your typical Jersey boy. He's so funny.
That's the same description Taylor Viplis had of him.
Everyone's just like your typical Jersey boy.
I think what's so funny about it is that Devin Ramsey spent his 17 years on campus building up a rep for Jersey. Then you get Dan Mashmateo and Ferranto. They come in, they're like, no, this is not what Jersey's like. And then Tommy comes in on day one, like, dude, what's up? Like, dude, what's up? Like, let's go to the Jersey Shore, dude. It's just like, it's like, you guys are so wrong. This is Jersey.
Well, we do want to talk a little bit about Georgia Tech, because there is a football game this weekend, not just homecoming festivities. So we'll get into all that here on the other side of Tar Heel Talk as we wrap this up here on WCHL. Welcome back into Tar Heel Talk here on WCHL. Blake Hodge, Ross Martin, and this week for homecoming for the Tar Heels, Shaquille Rashad and Jeff Schottmer with us as well. Georgia Tech for homecoming this week, the Rambling Wreck of Georgia Tech coming off of a bye week for the Tar Heels, looking to continue their good play here in conference play after that one loss to Virginia Tech during Hurricane Matthew. Will not completely revisit that, of course. Virginia Tech playing Duke this week, so I guess Tar Heels are going to have to root for the Blue Devils here a little bit at least over the weekend to get back in contention to be able to control their own destiny. But Carolina would also have to continue winning out. So looking at this Georgia Tech team, it's always different to play Georgia Tech because of the offense. The triple option, Paul Johnson ran it at Navy, got the job at Georgia Tech. They've had a lot of success at Georgia Tech during his time running that offense. Jeff, is there much of a benefit to being able to have this extra week off to prepare for that? Or is this one of those games you just want to get over with?
You know, I saw an interesting stat on Twitter the other day. I think, or at least in my time at UNC, we were 2-0 versus them without a bye week before, right, and 0-2 with. So I like to say it's better to not have a bye
too
week.
Too much thinking about
it? Yeah, you just think about it too much. But no, I think with the second year with Chizik and this staff being able to play Georgia Tech, because he said he's never played a triple option team before. So with Chizik and his knowledge of football, getting to play them a second time, I think they're going to be in great hands.
What goes into, what do we need to know about the triple option that makes it so tough to defend? Obviously, you got the three guys, you got the dive, the pitch, and the quarterback. Something maybe we don't know about it that makes it so tough they can always get those third downs and always get those chunks of yardage. Shaq.
I think what makes it so hard to stop for less than like a few yards is just like, like even on a perfect play on defense, if like your guy's supposed to have the dive, has a dive, has whatever, if even if you do all that right, like it has to be so perfect. Like even if you, like say I'm a linebacker and I have the fullback on the dive, they run the dive, I have to come from like my linebacker depth, get down, like see what's happening, meet that fullback, and then stop him and drive him backwards before he can just like take the handoff and get 2-3 yards. So it's so easy for them to get 2-3 yards a pop, but at the same time, like there's a lot going on with the ball, and so you just have to try to get your turnovers where you can. And like I'm getting flashbacks just thinking about
but I mean last year against Georgia Tech, that was, you know, that was the turning point in the season, really. Yeah. Like looking back on it, you know, down 3 touchdowns, y'all figure it out and start getting some stops, the offense turns it on, and there's that massive comeback victory. Georgia Tech was picked to win the Coastal, I believe, last year. Yeah. So y'all were obviously able to figure it out. How much of those adjustments are able to be made in game versus just actually, you know, saying, guys, we just got to get it done?
I could be wrong here. Jeff, you might remember this too. I don't think we made a single adjustment that game. Mm-mm. I think as you start to see the offense, because it's so different than anything you've ever seen before, like you just have to start to see the offense, and obviously the moment we started to see it was after they went up 21 on us. And so you, I mean, obviously you have to hope that doesn't happen, but like I think we went in at halftime. We're just like, look, like there's nothing we're going to change. Like we're starting to see it better. Let's just play it better. Mm-hmm. So that's.
I think the biggest thing with Georgia Tech is you got to be aggressive in attacking, and you got to get them in negative plays. So we got to create negative plays on first and second down. So if you get them to second and 12 or third and 8, you know, things like that, then you have a great chance. Because if they throw the ball and we know they're throwing the ball, they're not going to complete at a high percentage on our defensive backs, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing, and I think we will do that more this year, is be more attacking and aggressive. I think last year we were just playing to stop them, not really attack them. So I think that's what I expect our team to do this year.
What goes into the week before Georgia Tech? What kind of prep do y'all do to prepare for that? And the players this week, and Chizik talked about it with the scout team and a lot of different things. What, from y'all's perspective, y'all do to, you'll play them 3 or 4 times to stop Georgia Tech? Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things that goes into the game is who plays the scout team quarterback that week. I think in the years that we've won, we've had, I think one year, I mean, TJ Giles, who was a cornerback, really fast, athletic, he ran the scout team for us, so he gave us a great look. I mean, as good as a look that he could possibly give. And I think that's an underrated key to the games, is having a great scout team quarterback to run that during the week, just to give the guys a decent look.
In terms of scheme, though, and like, you actually have to learn a whole new defense to go against Georgia Tech. What goes into that and kind of playing a different way almost?
I think, like you were saying, it's a new scheme. Like, you kind of like to rewire your mind almost. And it's like you're looking for one thing. If, like, it's just, you have to be so locked in on exactly what's happening, exactly where you're looking. And it's just so stressful. Not like that. Not that it's a ton to learn, but when it's first happening, like I remember my first snap playing linebacker against Georgia Tech. I was just like, what am I looking at? I don't think I moved. I was standing still when I got cut, and it's just so wild. So I think if I had to give someone advice on getting ready to play Georgia Tech, I'd say first, like, know what you're gonna get and watch them as much film as you can. And second, like, wear padded gloves that game because you're taking on cuts all day.
Let's go into the cuts.
So this is clearly a frustration that is shared by, I would say, not just y'all, but everyone that's played against Georgia Tech or a triple option offense. First off, what they do is technically legal, but kind of describe what you see coming at you from that offensive line.
You see a 320-pound lineman getting a full head of steam 4 yards and running and diving at your legs. So, and that's,
you see a down block and then you start looking for the cut that's coming behind it. Like, it's just like, and they take really big splits compared to any other offensive line. So they take huge splits. So you just see these massive gaps. But you have to know which one you're where you're supposed to be. Obviously, you just see massive gaps, and then just people getting carved up like turkeys. And it's just like, you get your hands out and try to play off of them and get over to the ball, get where you need to be.
I mean, we really want to thank y'all for coming in the studio. And actually, could y'all kind of tell us what you're doing now? You're here for homecoming week. Jeff, what are you kind of doing now as you prepare to, make a team, I guess?
Yeah. So, I was with the New Orleans Saints during preseason. And I actually was on, after the last preseason game, I got put on IR for 2 weeks. I hurt my shoulder in the last game. Once I got fully healthy, they released me mid-September. And so I've been a free agent since, living in Dallas, my hometown, just staying in shape and hoping for a call from another team. You know, my agent's been optimistic, so I've been optimistic as well. But it's been fun to watch my little brother play high school football, and because I haven't seen him play since like seventh grade, because I always had my games up in North Carolina. So I'm really enjoying that, and kind of just staying positive and watching the Tar Heels, really.
And you're just treating it as a job, kind of working out, like you could get called up any day and trying to make a team. Cool.
Exactly.
And Jack, what's going on with you?
I'm with the practice squad on the Texans, and so that's where I did my camp and everything, signed with the practice squad there, and so now I'm just playing ball.
And what are y'all's plans this week? You got a couple of days. You came in on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah,
I'm trying to see as many people as possible. Yeah. This place was so good to us, and we met so many great people, so we want to see everybody and just have a good time while we're here.
Thank you all so much, Jeff Scheimer, Shaquille Rashad, Ross Martin. You can get all his stuff over at Carolina Blue 24/7 Sports, CBSSports.com. Blake Hodge here with Tar Heel Talk on WCHL. Carolina coming up against Georgia Tech, 12:30 kickoff. So we've got a full morning of pregame show going on here on WCHL.